last.
You may be seated. Thank you so much for coming today to show your love and support for Tyler's family. What an incredible display of affection and support. And it's great that you are here for the family today. Sometimes we don't know the right words to say, but often just our presence and just a hug, it means so much more than we realize. I have one request, and that is if you have a cell phone on you today, and chances are you do in this day and age in which we live, if you, in respect to the family, would just turn it to silent or turn it off and refrain from texting and using it for the remainder of the service, that would be greatly appreciated. Tyler Robert Lath, TL, age 17 of Hammond, died unexpectedly on January 9th, 2013. Tyler was born on February 2nd, 1995, in Baldwin, Wisconsin, the son of Stephen and Tanya Whitman Lath. He was raised in Hammond and a member of the class of 2013 at St. Croix Central High School. His future plans were to attend the University of Minnesota, UW-Madison, or UW-Platteville to study chemical, nuclear, or biomedical engineering. Tyler was a three-sport athlete, lettering in football, basketball, and baseball since his sophomore year. He was recognized by teammates, classmates, coaches, and teachers as a distinguished leader. He was captain of the football and basketball teams his senior year and received several all-conference honors in both sports. Although most people know and remember him for his football talents, his deepest passion was actually baseball. He played on several different summer baseball teams and was a member of the Dick Siebert Fall Baseball League. Tyler was also an honor student, receiving top GPA baseball awards. Outside of school, Tyler excelled in many different ways. As a Cub Scout, he won the Pinewood Derby Championship, and he became an Eagle Scout at age 14. He was also an avid motocross rider. While in grade school, Tyler won back-to-back state championships, as well as earning several other motocross championship titles. Based on his riding skills and grades, Tyler was selected as one of the 15 youth riders to compete at the KTM Junior Supercross Challenge at the Metrodome in 2003. He raced on a professional course and was treated like a pro for a day. One of his most prized possessions was his 5-foot-10-inch trophy he earned in second grade for winning 7 of 7 races in the Midway Survivor Series. His first year deer hunting at age 12, he shot a 13-point buck, beating out Mr. Grisham in his big buck contest. In his youth, Tyler was an avid guitar player and collector of football cards. He was also a dedicated Packer fan. Tyler had a great strength in God, and we are comforted knowing he is waiting for us to be with him again someday. Tyler had a passion for everything he did. He touched the lives of many through his charm, wit, and unique personality. His integrity, kindness, compassion, and effervescence will be forever missed. Tyler will forever remain in the hearts of his mother and father, Mother Tanya Whitman Lath and Chad Gullickson, and Father Steve Lath and Nick Newdall, brothers Andrew and Jacob Fuzzy, grandparents Naomi Whitman of Egan and Bob Whitman, and Lynette of Amory, Della Lath of Baldwin, and great grandmother Iola Votman of Baldwin, Aunt Tracy and Jack Hargesheimer of Hudson, Uncles Bob Whitman II of Baldwin, David and Lori Lathe of Fridley, Michael and Trish Lathe of Cake Creek, Arizona, cousins Amber, Sienna, Ava Hargesheimer, Robert Whitman III, Sasha and Daniel Blair, Christina and Victor Salida, Elizabeth and Jennifer Lathe, Mitchell and Mick and Gina Johnston Lathe, and many more relatives and countless friends, including the SCC class of 2013. He was preceded in death by grandfather Ernest Lathe, for whom he shared a birthday. This time we're going to ask you to join in some singings, a couple of songs that were favorites of the family, and just to remind us about the God in which we worship, that Tyler worshiped today.
Do as we normally do on Sunday mornings. Would you stand with me as we sing this song?
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in this desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
And blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name,
Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. When I am down
And oh, my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. There is no life, no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. But when you come and I am filled with wonder, sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
You may be seated. Nothing is as comforting as God's word and seeking him in prayer. So Reverend Vernon Lath is going to come and he's going to read some scriptures and lead us in prayer together.
I greet you today in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves us more than we can even imagine or think. I'm Tyler's great uncle. I pastor a church in Bemidji, Minnesota, which is a little more than 5 hours from here. And with my 4 weekends off a year, it was hard to get to any of the events of the family. But I heard so much about all three boys and the accomplishments each of them have. And last night I was powerfully impressed at what Tyler was able to give to us, students, faculty of the school system, leaders. It's amazing that a young man can go through high school without being in the principal's office. But Tyler accomplished that. Well, he still had about 4 months to go. If we were to take a... I'm sure we've all been in a clinic or in a hospital where you've got your little picture scale of how much pain you have. Starts with a big smiley on the top and down the bottom, the sad spot. We're told in the scripture that this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But if we're to measure our part of our being that really is looking at our memory of Tyler and how he touched our lives, and he touched me. Special young man. But we focus on him and his accomplishments and then his departure from us. Suddenly, we miss him so greatly. And if we're to try to measure it, there's no measurement that can go as deep as the hurt is. And dark, dark, dark time. But yet within God's word, we find comfort. Jesus Christ himself prepared his departure, and his departure was going to be on a cross, being the sacrifice for my sin. And for the sin of those 12 men who walked with him day after day for some 3 years, seeing the miracles, the power of God demonstrated in miraculous ways, where they were beyond understanding of how can this be. But yet for them would come a day when they would see this man, Jesus, die a horrible, horrible, horrible death. And Jesus prepared them by saying these words in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." What a wonderful invitation that he was giving to them and to us. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus replied to him and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What is our real help at times like this? It's in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring us comfort and help. My most favorite verse, a verse I spend time with every day, John 3:16-17. And I personalize that verse and put my name in where the pronouns are. Recognizing. And you can say this verse for me, and I'm not going to personalize it for myself, but in my mind I am, and I'd like you to too, because probably half of us at least know this verse by memory. Say it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Then I add verse 17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God cares about me. He cares about all of us. Steve, Tanya, Andrew, Fuzzy. You're a super guy, Fuzzy. I enjoyed watching that basketball game Thursday night. I still can't understand how you can jump so high. Your dad said it was the cupcakes. We love you and the extended family. He loves us more than we can imagine or think. I want to close with these verses in Psalm 139. "How precious are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them all. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." God is here today to comfort us. Father God, we thank you for your comfort, your love, your grace, and your mercy. And Lord, this day is here before us. And for Tyler's immediate family, his mom and dad and his brothers and all the other ones that are close to him, the students, the faculty, all of us have hurt. But God, we ask for your comfort to come during these moments of this celebration time. We thank you for the accomplishments of Tyler and how he blessed every one of us in so many different ways. And God, we ask for your comfort, the comforting of the Holy Spirit to be so present in the words that will be sung and further shared with us, the ministry of our pastor, Rick, that you'll bless and touch our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
I can't believe that you're real.
choosing some words today, I wanted to honor Tyler, but also want to speak words of comfort to his family and also give hope to everyone who hears the message this morning. I'm thinking of a title for my remarks. I came up with A View from the End Zone because Tyler loved football, and it's nothing like scoring a touchdown if you've ever had that experience. I feel bad for you, but if you've had the experience to score a touchdown or make a point or do something, it's just a great feeling to finally make it to the end zone. And when I think of Tyler and his love for sports, I think about the Apostle Paul in the Bible, because he also was a lover of sports. Let me read from 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. It says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And then Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I love sports myself. I love to watch football games and even the post-game interviews. You know, they interview the players and the coaches from both the winning teams and the losing teams, and the winners always say something like, "Well, you know, it was a good day for us. We executed our game plan. Everything just kind of came together for us today, and we came out with a victory." And they'll interview the losers, and they'll say things, "Well, you know, it just wasn't a good day for us. We didn't execute our game plan very well, and, you know, the other team just had a better day." Calling the game is much easier from the end zone. It's always easier to look back and see what things you did right and what things you didn't do as well. And as I read these verses, I am aware that Paul is standing in the end zone of his life. He is able to look back on his life and the game that he has played. And these verses are as close as we can get to an end game interview with the Apostle Paul. And Paul knows that his time is up. The game has been played, but he wants to give us one final interview before he rides off into glory. And I'm glad that he did, because he was a man who played a good game. Paul was a winner. He didn't fumble the ball. He had not been tackled by the enemy. He had stumbled but a few times, and he reached the end zone of his life. But what I want to think about today is to go back and think about some of the words that Paul said while he was playing the game. What were the things that were important to Paul? Because he was a winner. And the things that were important to Paul are the things that should be important to us as well. Like I said, Paul must have been a sports fan, like Tyler. Over and over again, many times in many places of the Bible, he uses illustrations from sports to make his point. He speaks of wrestling, boxing, running, winning the race, winning the prize, and winning crowns. He talks about the discipline necessary to win and the danger of being disqualified. And again, like Tyler, very disciplined in his preparation. Getting up early in the morning to lift weights, make sure that he could do whatever he could to be ready for the next game. I don't know if Paul played any sports himself, but it's clear that he was fully acquainted with the athletic world of his time. And when he wanted to sum up his life in 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." First phrase came from boxing, the second from running. So what are some of the things that we can learn from Paul and how we can reach the end zone of our life, that we can reach there in victory? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, Paul uses the image of a runner to remind believers that they are runners in a race. And the Corinthians that he was writing to could quickly relate to the image because they were keenly aware of, for example, the Olympian Games, in the glory of running in these games and winning the medals and being crowned. There were several events such as wrestling and boxing and throwing the discus, but the race was the major attraction of the games. And using the image of a runner, Paul asks, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" Everybody runs. He says, "But there's one that receives the prize, so run that you might obtain," that you might obtain the prize. You see, Paul was a competitor. Like Tyler, we have no doubt that he was a competitor. He competed in everything that he did. Look at his awards. I'm amazed at how much he was able to accomplish in 17 years. Many people live a lifetime of 70, 80 years and not accomplish the things that Tyler did in his short life. He was a competitor. He was driven. I was told that if Tyler couldn't compete in a dirt bike race, his dirt bike sat in the garage. But if there was a race, then he's preparing for the race, and he wants to be on it. Amazing to me that trophy he won for that perfect season. At the time that he won that trophy was taller than he was. He's a competitor. And Paul saw himself as every other person, which includes you and I today. He sees us, he says, "You are runners in a race." We are all running the race of life. "Know ye not that you are a runner in a race?" We're all participants. But you know, it's an individual race, isn't it? We all run our own races. We have our own lives to live. Nobody can live their life, our life for us. We each have a life to live. We each have a race to run. But at the same time, it's not only a private race, it's a public race because others are watching us. It was very touching last night to be able to listen to Tyler's classmates and friends talk about how they were watching his life and the influence he had upon them and the example that he set and his spirit. They would take that spirit with them. We all run, but we're watching others. People are watching us as we run our race and cheering us on and encouraging us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Paul is saying that there are people watching us as we run our race, but there's also people that we are to be watching. And there's one in particular. Paul says, "I want you to keep your eyes on Jesus." He's not only the beginning of your faith, he's the finisher of your faith. And you know, when you run in a race, you can't be distracted by other things. You have to look to the finish line. You have to look straight ahead. And Paul is saying, your whole life, you need to keep looking for the finish. You need to keep looking at Jesus. Did he endure suffering? Yeah, he did. But he was able to overcome it, and he is able to help us overcome the obstacles and the difficulties of our life so that we can run our races successfully. Keep looking ahead. Jesus is standing at the finish line. And if you want to run the race successfully, you have to put your faith, you have to put your trust in him, and you have to keep watching him. We run the race the same way we started the race, through faith, through trust in Jesus. And so I want to encourage you today, don't lose faith. Keep your eyes upon Jesus today. Don't let this tragedy, and it is a tragedy, don't let it trip you up. Don't let anything trip you up in life. Keep trusting in Jesus. The verses were read, you believe in God. Jesus said, believe also in me. Put your trust in me. Paul says, really, there's three things that abide. There's faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. And Psalm 46 expresses these three things also. But let me tell you what I believe Paul was saying. When he's talking about love, he's talking about a loving heavenly Father. We have a Father. We have a loving Father that helps us in life. The greatest of faith, hope, and love is love. And you have a heavenly Father that loves you. Again, the verse was read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever, and you put yourself in there, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. As I thought about Tyler, I thought about you, Steve. I thought about a loving Father that was there to help him. We could talk about a lot of things, but one of the things that I remember is the bookshelves that he made for his Eagle Scout project. Three of the most beautiful cherry bookshelves you will ever see. And they're in our library right out here if anybody wants to take a look at them. And I remember going with Steve and Tyler to buy the materials to make those shelves. There was a father that loved his son. Father that helped his son. And we have a heavenly Father that helps us too. And that loves us. And will work with us through the difficulties of life. The psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. I want you to know that nowhere in the Bible does God promise the absence of trouble this side of heaven. This is life. We live in a fallen world. There will be troubles. And while our God does not spare us from trouble in this life, he does give us the assurance that we don't have to face these troubles alone. And just like you fathers and you mothers are there for your children when they go through troubles, we wish we could spare them from all the trouble, but we can't. But we're there for them. And God, our Heavenly Father, is there for us as well. I was reminded of the 1992 Summer Olympics. The British runner Derek Redmond was in the semifinals of the 400-meter race. And as Derek was competing in the race, he tore a hamstring and he fell down on the track. He struggled to his feet and he began to hobble because he was determined. And can you just picture Tyler doing this too? He was determined to complete the race. His father ran from the stands to help him off the track, but the athlete refused to quit. He leaned on his father, and the two of them together limped to the finish line with a deafening applause. We're going to stumble and fall in the Christian life. We have a cloud of witnesses. We have one that is a loving heavenly Father that when he sees us hurting as we're running the race of life, he comes and he helps us. He's a very present help in times of trouble. I want you to lean on him today. Steve, Tanya, Andrew, Fuzzy, you have a Heavenly Father who wants to help. John 14:8, Jesus promised his anxious disciples, "I will not leave you. I will never leave you comfortless, but I will come to you." God's power aids us in distress. Our strength, it comes from him. God is our refuge and strength. When you're at the end of your own strength, Scripture says, "When they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You have a Father that helps you. The second thing is, we have a future that gives us hope. We have a future that gives us hope. When Tyler was, his first year of deer hunting, he was 12, right? When he got the big buck. I was talking to Dell, and she reminded me that Tyler said, "We are going to go to church that morning, and then we can go hunting after church." So we're going to put God first here. And he got home, and it wasn't long, and he shot that buck. I was never so proud of somebody in my life. Della reminded me what I said. I didn't remember, but I said, "You know, there's a lot of adults who don't have that kind of wisdom." But he put God first, and whoever puts God first in their life, whoever puts their faith and their trust in him, there's hope. There is hope if we keep our eyes on Jesus. There's hope in this life. Never, things are never hopeless. But we also have the hope of heaven and the gladness that it brings. In Revelation 21, John tells us a little bit about that city that will be such a glad place. He says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Heaven is a glorious place because God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of her. As you're running the race today, you're keeping your focus upon your eternal destiny, which is the most important thing that you can do. As you're running the race, I want you to check your direction today. Which way are you running? Young people, which way are you running today? Are you running the wrong way? Or are you running the race the right way, heading in the right direction? Again, a football illustration. On January 1st, 1929, the Golden Bears faced the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. Midway through the second quarter, a man by the name of Regals, who played center, picked up a fumble by Tech's Jack Stumpy Thomason just 30 yards away from the Yellow Jackets' end zone. But Regal somehow got turned around and he ran 69 yards in the wrong direction. His teammate and quarterback Benny Lahm chased Regal, screaming at him to stop. Known for his speed, Lahm finally caught up with Regal at the California 3-yard line and tried to get him to turn around, but he was immediately hit by a wave of Tech players and he was tackled at the 1-yard line. And the Bears decided they chose to punt rather than risk a play so close to their end zone. But the punt was blocked for a safety, and the score was 2-0. Georgia Tech had the lead. Regals was so distraught at halftime that he had to be talked into going back into the game by his coaches and teammates. But when he played the second half, he had a stellar performance, including a blocked punt of his own. And he just played a tremendous game. But even though they lost the game and didn't win the championship, Regals was able to pick himself up returned to the field and played so hard in the second half that it was almost easy to forget the mistake of the first half. And I want you to know today that if you have made mistakes in life, there is still hope. You can still redeem yourself. It doesn't matter what you have done. Nothing is bad enough. God will forgive you. And there are people that are still love you and will cheer you on no matter what you have done. The focus is not really on where you have been, but which direction you are heading today. I hope that you are running the race of life and you're running to the right end zone. We have a Father who helps. We have a future that gives hope. And the last thing is we have a faith that gives us heart. Tragedy is not new in history. There's pain, there's sorrow, there's suffering. There's been a loss of these things right from the very beginning when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. And yet alongside all the hurt of human history, there has been an abiding hope. Hope that above all the tragedy, there is a truth that makes sense of a world that, let's admit, sometimes seems to be so senseless. The truth that we cling to in times of tragedy is that our God is who He says He is, and that He is sovereignly working in our world even when we can't see it or explain it. That is the truth revealed to us in the Word of God. And that truth has sustained the hearts of God's people whenever they have faced trouble and distress. The challenge here is to overcome your questions, your concerns, and complaints about what has happened by trusting in the truth of who God is. Somewhere around 1790, a writer by the name of Samuel Medley wrote a hymn entitled, "God Shall Alone the Refuge Be." It says, "God shall alone the refuge be, and comfort of my mind, too wise to be mistaken He, too good to be unkind. In all His holy sovereign will, He is, I daily find, too wise to be mistaken still, too good to be unkind." And even in the midst of unexplainable tragedies, ours is the faith that stills and calms itself by knowing that God is too wise to be mistaken, too loving to be unkind. God's command is accompanied by a promise. He says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. In other words, when it's all said and done, and the work of God is complete, He will be exalted, and His name will be glorified. No matter what happens in our world and in our lives, I can't explain it. I just have to accept this by faith like the rest of you. That God is working all things together for good and for the glory of His great name. He can turn even a tragedy into His glory. He can turn what seemed like a defeat into victory. If you need an example of that, I want to point you to the cross. Look at the cross upon which Jesus died. There was the Son of God, sinless, but He's hanging, nail prints in His hands, spikes driven through His feet. It looked like sure defeat. His family, His friends, and His followers must have wondered that day, what is God doing? Where is God in all of this? Where is He now? Those that were hanging on either side of Him on the cross began to mock and taunt Him. "If you are the Son of God, save yourself." and us. And yet Jesus just hung there. How could he ever recover from this loss? And yet we know that what looked like tragedy on crucifixion day turned into victory on resurrection day. Jesus rose from the dead, and God was exalted in the earth. Believing that truth and knowing that God will ultimately be glorified in all things, we pick up the tragedy. We pick up what we're doing here today. We pick up the tragedy, and we look forward to a victory. Tyler would settle for nothing less. He would settle for nothing less than victory. He would give everything that he had to win. You're running the race of life. Remember the cloud of witnesses? I believe that Tyler now is one that we could say looks down, telling us to run the race with patience. Keep your eyes looking ahead. Keep looking at the finish line. Look at Jesus. Put your faith, put your trust in there. Jesus one day had the people that are surrounding him look back at an event that happened in the Old Testament. See, the people were being bitten by serpents, and they were dying from these snake bites. And God told Moses to get a serpent and hang it on a brass pole, and whoever looked on that serpent would live. When Jesus came, he said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. You see, the serpents that bite us is sin. Every one of us has sinned. The wages of sin is death. But Jesus died in our place. He took our death. And now if we look to the cross and we put our faith and our trust in him, sin does no longer destroy us, but Jesus is able to save us. And I just encourage you today that if you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus, that you would do that today. I know Tyler, if he was here, he would encourage every single one of you to do that, because he did that in his life. Father, we thank you for this time that we are able to share the scriptures together. And I thank you, Lord, and we're not going to remember all these words, but maybe, Lord, we could remember three: faith, hope, and love. Help the family to know that they have a Father who helps them, that they have hope, that theirs is a faith that has heart. Bless them, Lord. Comfort them. Minister to them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christina is going to sing another song for us. God bless her as she does.
While they're working on that, Tanya asked me to say something before this song. I didn't know if I could, but I'm going to try. This song is called The Hurt and the Healer. And this song was written for someone that was going through a circumstance much like we are going through right now. And I just want to read some of the words to the song so that you can have these in your mind as I sing it. Why? The question that is never far away, but healing doesn't come from the explained. Just a minute. Jesus, please don't let this go in vain. You're all I have, all that remains. And I can remember going to work after I found out that this had happened, asking my why questions that I think all of us have asked probably about a million of and will continue to do for quite some time. And I could hear this little, still small voice say, it's okay to ask your questions, but any explanation is not going to bring you to peace right now. The only thing that can bring peace into your heart is a collision with me, is to bring your hurt directly into my arms and let me heal you. And that's what this song is about, is just us colliding with the one who can heal our hurt.
The question that is never
There are some pew Bibles there. I know there's not enough to go around, but if you would take those, and those of you that have them, and those of you that have Psalm 23 memorized, or maybe portion of it memorized, I would like us to read these verses together. 23rd Psalm. While you're turning there, I'd like to tell you a true story. Dr. Barnhouse, very wise preacher, his wife died of cancer while she was still in her 30s. He had three children, three girls. The oldest was 12 years of age. They were on the way to the funeral service, which Dr. Barnhouse was to preach. I don't know how he preached his own wife's funeral, but he was willing to do that. His children had all kinds of questions about death. He was trying to think of something to comfort them when all of a sudden a huge truck passed them, and the shadow of the truck enveloped their car, passing them and pulling in ahead of them. And the thought came to Dr. Barnhouse, and he said to his daughters, he said, would you rather be hit by a truck or by the shadow of the truck? And the oldest girl said, well, I'd rather be hit by the shadow of the truck, of course, because the shadow can't hurt us. And he said, Mom was hit by the shadow of the truck. We face the shadow of death. What happened was Jesus stood in the way and took the hit of the truck for us, so that death has lost its sting. Death has lost its hold. Death is really but a shadow, because we pass from death to life. How many of you would rather be hit by the shadow of the truck than the truck? You know what you need to do? You need to thank Jesus for taking the hit for you. You need to say, Jesus, I put my trust in you and what you did. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my shepherd. And you know he will do that. And when your time comes, you will just face the shadow of death. Pray that you make that decision today, and that you just offer up a prayer to Jesus, thanking him and receiving him to your life as your Savior. And I'm here today. If anybody wants to talk to me afterwards, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to talk with you about that. Psalm 23, let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We commit Tyler's body to the Lord. We commit his spirit to the God who gave it. And we realize that the body is just an earthly shell that we live in while we are here upon this earth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not
prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so Tyler's body and his spirit we commit to the Lord, and we wait till one day when the soul and the body are once again reunited. Jeremy James has recorded a song that we'd like to play at this time called I Will Rise.
There's a peace I've come to know that my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He has risen from the dead, and I will rise. When he calls my name, no more sorrow, no more pain.
Again, could we stand? The family has picked out these songs that we're singing for congregational songs this morning, and when I saw this song on the list, I was really touched. I know that sometimes, you know, when we can't explain our feelings, we're going through the hardest times of our life. Sometimes all we can really do is to bless the Lord. And when God sees that we take our pain and our suffering and our sorrow and we turn it back into praise to Him, it really opens up the floodgates of heaven, and God is able to do great things. And so if you're here and you're really hurting this morning, I just encourage you to bless the Lord, live for Him, and on that day when the end does draw near for us, we will be at peace with Him.
So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find, to bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name.
Worship Your holy name. Yes, I will worship,
worship Your holy name.
We would like to invite you all down to the fellowship hall. Food is provided back there. And I just again want to thank you all for coming. I want to thank
the team here from church, our church family, just did a great job of helping and getting this ready for you today. So wanted you to make sure that you take advantage of the food that has been provided. And may the grace and peace and mercy and comfort of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son be with you from this day forward, from now and always. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit.
Must have been in a place so dark you couldn't feel the light, reaching for you through that stormy cloud. Now here we are gathered in our little hometown. This can't be the way you meant to draw. Was there anything I could have said or done? Oh, I had no clue you were masking a troubled soul. God only knows what went wrong. In the middle of a song. Now breeze is swaying in the early autumn breeze. A golden sun is shining on my face. The tangled thoughts I hear, a mockingbird sing. This old world really ain't that bad. Your beautiful soul, your absence.